all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. Raven and I are broadcasting from home, so if you would like to chime in, just text us 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you are making your mask and you're looking around your house and you decide a jock strap is the perfect way to do it, that's all I need to know about you. That's exactly what this guy did, and he made an instructional video for YouTube.
Take your favorite jock strap, put the waistband over your head. Take the leg bands, cross them over your head, and secure them beneath your nose. Take the excess waistband and pull it over your forehead, securing your jockstrap mask in place.
Creative, right, Raven? The question is do you use a brand new jockstrap or a used one?
Well, I'm hoping that it's a brand new one or at least a recently washed one. You know, let's think about it. If you're not an athlete, maybe you were an athlete at one time, or maybe you do a little intramural at certain times during the year. This jockstrap's probably not getting a lot of usage. You probably bought it with all good intentions and then it sat in your drawer and never actually did anything. If that's the case, the fabric, the way it's cut, I mean, this could make sense. Something's better than nothing, but other times you should just stay indoors, stay low to the ground, and do your best not to breathe.
What I found to be the most interesting part about all of this face masking is the amount of people that have bandanas just lying around. It's like all of a sudden now everybody has a bandana. And I was like, how do all these people have bandanas? And then sure enough, I went to go open my drawer and I had a bandana too. I had two bandanas. Who knew?
Sad fact, bandanas barely fit around my head. You know, I have a large cranium, so yeah. I have several bandanas at my disposal, but unless I tie them with the tightest knot, and I mean, it's the tiniest, tightest little knot on the back of my head, and there's actual pressure along all the way around my head, like I can't fit that bandana around my face.
You don't even need to put it all around your face. All you have to do is get like rubber bands and you tie it to the side and then you hook it around your ears. You can makeshift these rubber band face masks. Trust me, I've seen every DIY YouTube video there is.
Speaking of, if you are downhill skiing inside your living room and just placing a blanket over the handrail on your stairs so that you can catch air and grind it out, that's all I need to know about you. YouTubers, I know you get paid on views. I mean, that's not good for your flooring, your walls, or the handrail in your house. I watched this guy. He was downhill skiing down a small staircase. And all I thought to myself was, well, you're going to need a lot of carpentry work. And you can't get your carpenter over there right now, pal. He's got to keep 6 feet away.
You said that. And I was like, that is a good idea. That's exactly going to be today's project. Well, Hayden, get your skis. We're going to ski down the stairs. My only concern with that is I don't want to end up in the emergency room right now. They got enough problems over there. You want to chime in too? 1-800-330-9999. You can text and just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. There's so many things that I always said, Raven, like if I had time, I was definitely going to do them. Like it's been the reason why I haven't done so many things. I haven't made my children's like the printout of the pictures and the books and like the baby book. I mean, my older one is 11 years old. I still never did her baby book. I said, when I have time, I'm going to do it. And you want to know what, Raven? We have time right now at home and I still don't do it.
Hey, you're not doing it. Yeah. Nope. Some of these things you're just destined in life to not ever really do, right? There's always something that will be better served for you to put your time on before that. Yeah. I've had Rosetta Stone in an area of my house for like 5 years to learn Spanish. I hear it's like a video game. It's supposed to be really easy. It's what everybody uses. Yeah. I just don't get around to doing it. I just figure, you know what? Next time I'm headed to Mexico, I'll pull it out 3 days before I go, watch a couple slides, learn how to ask where the shoe store is, maybe the bathroom. That's it.
It's Anna and Raven broadcasting from home. And it's true. It's like, it's funny that all those things that you put off now that you have the opportunity to do it, you still didn't do it. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day and she was like, I'm kind of embarrassed because I always like complain to my husband that the reason why I didn't make these really special dinners for the family was because I was too busy from work. She unfortunately got furloughed. She's like, I've got all the time in the world. I haven't taken out a pot yet.
Right. We're having like, pizza again tonight. Right.
It was saying like what people are doing right now. And I was shocked by how many people said that they were dieting because I keep saying that I'm going to diet. And if I had more time to dedicate to preparing my food, I've got all the time in the world and so much food at my house. You know what I'm eating? Chips, Raven, chips.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Working out, I think, at home is really good now. It's good to have goals and to stay, you know, fit, obviously, and to have the dedication. It's very difficult, I would imagine, to work out at home every day and have the dedication to do that, because I'm just trying to find the dedication to shower daily. Right. So I understand that. The dieting, I mean, working out like a maniac would be one thing. And even that's hard for me to imagine myself doing right now. But dieting on top of it seems impossible, because there's nothing but idle time. And when I have idle time, that's when, you know, that's when I get into trouble, essentially, whether it's food or anything else.
We asked on our Facebook page, what did you always say that you'll do when you have time? But now that you have time, you know, you'll never actually do it. Interesting. Go through old pictures in the basement. Yep. Write a book, a best-selling book. That seems really like
that's
that.
That's a big challenge.
Lofty goals right there. Learn right. how to play the piano. Oh, right.
That seems beautiful and deep. Guitar would be good too, right?
And my favorite, which we got so many, like said, cleaning out my bedroom closet. I have a bathroom closet that's got so much junk in it. And this is the perfect time to clean it out. And I cannot bring myself to do it.
Well, just, you know, dedicate yourself to the piano then. And then somebody can point out to the fact to you that you don't have one. And good. Then you'll just say, that's why I'm waiting.
March sadness with Hannah and Raven.
March sadness. We know you're home. Raven and I are broadcasting from home, and you're rewatching some of your best movies of all time. And we had planned this whole time that we were going to do this contest, and we said we are not canceling it, and you guys have come through. We're looking to figure out who is going to make it to the final four.
The saddest movies of all time. Your bracket has been busted with no college games out there. Stick with us. We're following this till the end. First up today, Steel Magnolias.
I want to know why. I want to know why Shelby's life is over. I want to know how that baby will ever know how wonderful his mother was. Will he ever know what she went through for him? Oh, God, I want to know why. Why?
Run me over with a car, all right? Sally Fields just devastates me. She devastates me in this. There's no other way to say it. I mean, this, and the audio goes on and on and on and on. I'm sparing you the worst of it. It really is terrible.
You've had 24 hours to vote, so let me read some of these comments. Having seen both movies multiple times and loving both movies, I have to go with Steel Magnolias, Michelle says. Caroline said, Steel Magnolias, based on a true sad story. Also, all the characters in terms of endearment were unlikable and difficult to sympathize with.
Yeah, that makes them real. That's what real people are like.
Unlikable.
Yes. Let's listen to Shirley MacLaine right now in terms of endearment.
So stupid. Somehow I thought when she finally went, that it would be a relief. Oh, my sweet darling.
But that's real. The kid is giving his mom junk about dying minutes before that. It's just terrible. It's
Emmanuel,
terrible.
He wrote on our Facebook page, listen, I heard so many things about Steel Magnolias over the year and how great it is. I hated that movie. I really did. So terms of endearment, it is. He just hates Steel Magnolias so much that he voted for the other movie. Fair, you know, that's fair.
Doesn't seem grown up, but whatever, man. That's your vote. That's your right.
There's a lot of back and forth, but ultimately, in about 80% to 20%, Steel Magnolias moves on to the final four.
Next two contestants coming up next.
March Sadness with Hannah and Raven.
Our next matchup is a tough one, and only you can decide who is going to make it to the final four in March Sadness. Getting down to the nitty-gritty, Raven.
Every one of these movies has got some sort of terrible message about loss, and even though there could be some uplifting moments, I mean, they just leave you wiped out at the end of the day. But you've got the time to rewatch them now, so why not? Let's put them up against each other one after another and see who comes out on top. First off, it's up.
What are you doing? Don't you know it's an exclusive club? Only explorers get in here. Not just any kid off the street with a helmet and a pair of goggles. Do you think you got what it takes? Well, do you? All right, you're in.
Up is so sad, and the thing that makes it so sad is that if you're a child watching that movie, because it's a children's movie, I think a lot of it goes over your head at the beginning, so you don't really even understand why it's sad. I remember my daughter and I rewatched it last week when it originally was up in the first round, and she looked at me, she's like, why are you crying? I'm like, because she's dying, and she was like, good. Oh, you know, right? It's a sad movie.
It is. Big competition coming from Tom Hanks, though, and Michael Clark Duncan from The Green Mile.
Tired of all the pain I feel in here in the world every day. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. Can you understand?
Pieces of glass in my head, Anna. The pieces of glass in my head.
That is a sad movie, but I don't know if it can really challenge a movie that's an animated sad movie. I feel like the minute that it's animated, it makes it even sadder, or no?
Oh, you're wrong, man. The moment they don't put the water on the sponge, it's sadder. And that's all I have to say about that.
You have 24 hours to either rewatch these movies or just to vote. You can head to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, just search Anna and Raven, or you can text your vote to 1-800-330-9999. Which movie is sadder and should make it to the final four, Up or Green Mile? Three things you need to know this hour. First, New York City Borough President Eric Adams wants to create fast lanes for first responders at the grocery stores. They say by the time they get out of work, doctors, nurses, that there's nothing left for them, which is valid. Think about it. A lot of people are going to the grocery stores first thing in the morning so they can get something. And by the time they're getting out of work, there's nothing. I don't see anything wrong with this.
I don't think most people would have a problem with this. I'm not sure exactly how you put things aside for somebody who's going to be showing up late if you don't know their order ahead of time. I mean, that seems like a lot of wishful thinking as to, we've got an idea. It's a great idea, but will it actually work, right? I mean, regular people have to get chicken and have to get toilet paper just like everybody else. So I'm not sure how they will make it work.
But I also think that if you're a doctor or a nurse, you're right. Like, you don't have to wait in line. You can go right in that 12 items or less, even if you have 100 items. Like, absolutely, go for it.
I would like to think that other people, if they saw you in scrubs, would give you their spot in line. But, you know, who knows?
Second thing you need to know this hour, Bronx Zoo tiger was the first animal to test positive for the coronavirus. Nadia is a 4-year-old Malaysian tiger and was tested after her human caretaker was asymptomatic but tested positive. Now, obviously, this is very unusual because animals in general haven't gotten it, but a lot of people are upset that the tiger was even tested in the first place since people are struggling to get testing.
It does seem odd. That was a first part of the story that really jumped out at me. But I think that they are wanting to keep an eye on whether or not animals can actually contract this and whether or not they can be carriers for this. It is very concerning to think that, okay, so we've seen this, you know, there were a couple rumors about dogs and then they kind of debunked that idea. And now they're saying with cats. Now, could there be a situation where cats could carry this and dogs not? I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a doctor. But it's concerning because you don't want people dumping their pets because they get paranoid, right? So everybody just follow the rules. Follow the rules. Stay away from tigers, too.
Well, also, if you're into Tiger King, they have announced that there's going to be a bonus episode on Netflix. So we have some more Tiger King to look forward to. I think Netflix is like, man, you know what the world needs right now? More Joe Exotic.
They give the people what they want.
Can't beat Raven.
Challenge Raven weekday mornings in pop culture trivia. Beat him and win. Michael, can you please ask Raven to leave? Take off his headphones and turn around and walk out of his dining room.
Raven, please take off your headphones and get out of your dining room.
All right. Thanks, man. Good luck.
All right, Michael. Here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you can beat him, we're going to give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready?
I am ready.
Number 1, the cast of The Nanny is reuniting for a virtual table read on Zoom. What was her character's name on The Nanny?
Fran Fine.
Number 2, a tiger at the Bronx Zoo has tested positive for the coronavirus. Who is the Tiger King, according to Netflix?
Joe Exotic.
Number 3, Queen Elizabeth made a televised speech, only her 4th during her reign, besides her annual Christmas broadcast. Which of her sons will be king next?
Prince Charles.
And number 4, John Krasinski surprised a kid with the original Hamilton cast reunion. Who is John Krasinski's wife?
Emily Blunt.
And number 5, what animal shape was the original peep?
What animal shape was the original peep? 50-50 here. I'm going to go with the bunny.
That's a good job, Michael. Really good. Well, I got to wait for him to turn around so I can wave him to come back. Hold on. Okay, come back. Yeah. I'm on Skype.
All right, how did you do?
You did great. You got 4 out of 5. He may have beat you.
4 to 5 is really impressive. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, the cast of The Nanny is reuniting for a virtual table read on Zoom. What was her character's name on the show, The Nanny?
Franny Mae?
No. Fran Fine. All right. You need all of these to tie. Number two.
Right.
A tiger at the Bronx Zoo has tested positive for the coronavirus. Who is the Tiger King according to Netflix?
Isn't it Joe Exotic? I haven't watched the show, but that would be my guess.
That is correct. Number three, Queen Elizabeth made a televised speech, only her fourth during her reign besides her annual Christmas broadcast. Which of her sons will be king next?
Charles, and that's why she continues to live. She just will not let him be king. She just, she will not let him be king. It's just, it's really sad, actually, but you know, hey.
Number four, John Krasinski surprised a kid with the original Hamilton cast reunion. Who is John Krasinski's wife?
Emily Blount.
What is it?
It's Blount. Is it B-L-O-U-N-T? Blount. 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 It's Emily Blount.
Emily Blount. What are you saying? I'll give it to you because you
it's
also
B-L-O-U-N-T. Is it not? Isn't it B-L-O-U-N-T?
No, it's B-L-O-U-N-T. Are you sure? I'm positive.
Well, it's Emily B. I mean, I know that much. I mean, you got to give me that. I mean, I know it.
I don't know.
Oh, let's just see how I do on the last one. The two of you, the things that have gone on during this game, you guys are ridiculous.
Number five. I don't know if I'm going to give you that one. John, what animal shape was the original peep?
I'm going to guess it's a bunny because that just makes sense for bunnies.
It doesn't matter. You want to know what?
I guess the original is blunt.
Yeah, it's a chick, so it doesn't matter. Michael, you just beat Raven anyway. Congratulations.
Got a lot of homeschool kids really happy right now.
Yes. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you. My name is Michael, and I just beat Raven.
Congratulations. We're going to hook you up with a $100 gift card to Duncan, but you get the bragging rights that you took Raven down at home. Nice job.
Who is awesome. This Blount Thank character? You. I'm still trying to figure that out.
I don't know who you were talking about. I'm like,
Blount? Garrett Blount was a running back in the NFL. That doesn't make any sense. Looking for it. No.
You got another chance to beat Raven coming up tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Can't beat Raven on the Anna and Raven show. Just like you, we're trying to get questions answered. It's Anna and Raven. Joining us, it's Dr. Susan Donnellan. She's the medical director of healthcare epidemiology at Stony Brook Medicine. What is the significance of 6 feet?
The significance of 6 feet in general is that when someone coughs or sneezes and the virus is in their respiratory particles, they're really heavy water droplets. And in general, they fall to the floor and dry up within that space of time. Now, so 6 feet has also been shown to, in past experiences, to be a really practical distance. Now, I know there's been some scientific studies in labs that suggest that longer distances are necessary, but these are really under artificial circumstances. Maybe a little bit more than 6 feet might be mimicked by someone who has a vigorous cough, but they should be staying home anyway and covering their cough. So 6 feet is, I think, an excellent rule of thumb.
So a lot of times, and what I've been noticing is you go to the grocery store and it's like nearly impossible, but these are essential runs that you have to make. And I know that we've been told, try not to go to the grocery store, especially at this week. Do you have any tips if you do have to make those runs or if you're an essential employee and you're out there working, what you can do to help keep yourself safe?
Sure. Well, first, let's talk about that essential run that you have to make, whether it's to the grocery store, to the pharmacy. This might be an argument for where people can use their own homemade masks if they have them, or the ones that are not medical grade, because you certainly want to keep those for the medical staff. Really, what we're trying to do is just to limit the amount of droplets that come from someone's nose or mouth. And again, you know, because we've heard as well about whether people are asymptomatic, I think that at this time, that would be a better use of those masks in general. I know in some stores, they let you go in only for the same number of people that come out. They've put plexiglass partitions between the cashier and yourself. And just as they line up, people are allowed, you know, are asked to stay one spot until it's their time to approach the cashier. So I think that those are important. Now, for essential employees, a lot of workplaces have gone to staggering shifts. The workday is no longer 9 to 5. Some people come in early. Some people stay late. They spread out the places where they work. So instead of having all these little Dilbert cubicles, they've spread them out into other workplaces. Would say that if you are an essential employee and you're coming in, don't separate yourself while working and then all come together around the same cafeteria table for meals. That kind of defeats the purpose. try not to congregate like that. If you're going to have lunch with your friend, you can, and one end of the table, and somebody can have it with the other end of the table. If your job requires that you use personal protection equipment, then use it and use it correctly. And for essential employees, such as what we have here at the hospital, we ask them to check their temperature twice a day and check symptoms, make sure that they feel as well as they felt the night before. If you're not feeling well, we don't want you to come in and be a hero. That's not the idea. We want you to stay home if you're not well, and speak to your doctor if you, whether or not you're someone who requires any testing.
More questions answered with Dr. Susan Donnellan from Stony Brook Medicine next with Anna and Raven. Just like you, we're trying to get questions answered. It's Anna and Raven. Joining us, it's Dr. Susan Donnellan. She's the medical director of healthcare epidemiology at Stony Brook Medicine.
Dr. Donnellan, we keep hearing about asymptomatic and testing. And at first, you know, testing was what everybody needed to do, where everybody needed to go. And then, you know, mixed signals there. The tests aren't available. When, you know, who should be getting tested? When should be tested? What is your advice to somebody who is asymptomatic at this point? Should they still be, you know, calling or reaching out to their doctor if they've any, you know, worry about that whatsoever? Should they even be concerned with getting tested or just assume that they have this and that's that?
If they truly have no symptoms, today I have no symptoms. I feel fine. I wouldn't want to take away the opportunity for a test for someone who might, for example, be mildly ill. At the beginning, we know we had problems with getting testing done because of, you know, some of the complexities of creating and rolling out a test. And so we're only testing the people who are the most critically ill, understanding surely that there were going to be people that were not requiring hospitalization or were mildly ill and may very well have been infected, but we didn't have the mechanism of testing them. And when we saw them, you know, within the healthcare system, go home, stay away from people you haven't already been around, and don't go out again until you feel better. Now, more and more tests are coming out, but resources are not unlimited. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me as an epidemiologist, as a healthcare provider, to be using what are more abundant but still limited resources for people's reassurance. They may be asymptomatic today, my test might be negative, and I'm incubating it. And so tomorrow I may start having some symptoms. So I've wasted, I might feel reassured that I had a negative test, but it doesn't mean that I'm not incubating it. So we'd rather people wait until, hopefully that doesn't happen, but until at least they have some symptoms that we understand have been associated with this disease, so that we save the resources for them. So that's another reason for the social distancing issue.
Typically, how long does it from when you've contacted it? And this is purely a selfish reason, because every Sunday morning I do my grocery shopping. That's the day that I go out. I go super early. The minute that we're allowed in, I go in and quickly get my stuff and get out of there. But it's always those few days after that I'm nervous, because I'm like, did I encounter anyone? How long?
It's a human reaction, right?
Yeah. So how long?
That's
typically
understandable. 2 to 14 days, but in general, people start to become symptomatic around the fifth day after exposure. And again, that may be mild symptoms. They may not recognize it as such. They may think it's their allergies. You know, we've had a mild winter and a mild spring, and things are blooming everywhere already. But people tend to know what is their usual allergy symptoms and what aren't. I think that the most important thing you can do when you go to the grocery store is to make sure that you perform hand hygiene. Keep your hands off your nose and your face. It's amazing if you look around and you walk around how many people have the habit of, you know, adjusting their glasses or scratching the side of their nose or something like that. Such a redundant, simple thing, but it's truly the case. Washing your hands frequently, keeping them off your nose and face. When you get your groceries away, again, wash your hands. Obviously, before you eat or prepare food, that type of thing, you want to make sure, again, you wash your hands. We are able to keep ourselves healthy and safe if we just follow those simple rules.
Dr. Susan Donnellan, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Three things you need to know this hour. It's Anna and Raven broadcasting from home. First things, New York City is starting to see a glimmer of hope that they're starting to plateau with COVID cases. But unfortunately, Long Island and Connecticut are seeing a rise in numbers. So it's one of those things, Raven, where I like to think that, okay, New York City is ahead of us, so we just have to get over the apex right now, and then hopefully we'll also start to plateau. But the truth is that you're just holding on to any glimmer of hope, period. Because there's no, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
I have seen more pie charts and graphs than I care to as an adult. in the last week or so, right? I mean, are you hear what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
I see them. They're all over the news outlets. And it's not like I expect all the news outlets to all agree, because they never do. That's fine. But like, you know, you see it. And so there's like a red wave, and then there's a yellow wave, and there's a blue wave on the graph that I'm thinking of. And it gives different counties. Well, I live on the border of two or three of those counties, and I work in another county. So I just say to myself, where am I? And, you know, looking at that list, I saw one as far out as May. Obviously, New York, with the biggest cluster in the United States, that would be incredible news. That would be great news if they were there.
My husband is a, you know, he's a numbers guy. He's an Excel guy. He's a chart guy. So this is like his bread and butter. But during one of the press conferences when they had up the charts, we were about 4 inches from our giant TV, and he's explaining it to me, and my head is just spinning and spinning. And I'm like, but all the lines, all the different colors, they're all running together. It's like a rainbow down here. And then finally he just gave up. He's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, that's probably the better way to go. All right. Second thing you need to know today, New York City schools are barred from using Zoom over security concerns. So a lot of schools, my daughter's school included, was using Zoom, and it was kind of like a fun place to go and to meet and to talk to the teachers and see your classmates. But unfortunately, it's not secure. So they were being hacked, and people that were not supposed to be in these classrooms were starting to show up in the classrooms. So there's other alternatives. Google Classroom is a great one. I know my daughter uses that as well. But in the meantime, we kind of are being told to stay away for Zoom.
Well, conference calls, I guess, right? You've got a reason now to find that old phone that weighs 40 pounds that mom kept somewhere in the basement. It's got a cord that reaches all the way from the kitchen to the living room to the back deck. It's time to get that sucker out, and we're going to keep on learning.
Number three thing you should know this morning, a DOT says airlines must refund passengers that had their flights canceled or severely changed. I mean, doesn't that seem like a no-brainer? But also on top of that, Disney will stop the monthly payment charges to annual pass holders. I was thinking about that the other day. All these things that we can't use that we're still getting charged for on a monthly basis, are we supposed to look the other way, or are we supposed to contest that? I was thinking about my gym membership, for example. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
I can't go to the gym, but I'm still getting that charge every month.
And it feels a little bit like a conundrum, right? Because if it's a local gym, you want to support it. If it's your favorite gym, it's your favorite, you know, whatever it may be, subscription service, you want to support it. But if you're not getting the goods, right, are you doing that foolishly? It's really a personal choice, I guess, for each. Some of these companies will live on. Some of these companies will fail. If you as the individual makes that one choice, I'm not sure it makes a difference. But everybody as a collective, it has a lot of impact.
What if I just go to the gym parking lot and I just start doing burpees on the concrete? Like, I'll keep far away from everybody else. Actually, there'll be nobody else there. Just me in the middle of the parking lot doing burpees. And be like,
isn't that
paid
what
for
CrossFit
this.
Is anyways? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.